happening. I can tell you in advance that it will be short and sweet. So that is my Christmas gift to the congregation. If you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah, chapter 5, I promise this is a Christmas verse. Micah chapter 5. And then, just so you know, we're going to read the first five verses, and we're going to jump over to the book of Luke once we've read Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, verse 1. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, something God made really hard to pronounce, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, and one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Now, go with me, if you would, to Luke, where the words are easier to pronounce. Chapter 2. Verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray, and let's talk about this. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for this incredibly familiar story. God, I pray that it would pulse with new life today. And God, that we would hear what we need to hear. So Lord, I ask that you would give us ears to hear by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to say what I should say. I pray for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I read Micah because Micah is the prophecy of the Messiah coming. And it's pretty clear when you read Micah, what we know now, looking backwards, is that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And if you've ever wondered why the scripture had to be fulfilled, the scripture in particular to be fulfilled was Micah chapter 5, that the Savior was going to be born in Bethlehem. But if you noticed, Joseph did not live in Bethlehem. He was of the house of David, so the house of David and the lineage of David was the city of Bethlehem, but he didn't live there. He lived in Nazareth, which is the very top of Israel, the very southern border of Lebanon. It's right there in the mountains. That's where he lived, and it's about 80 miles away from Bethlehem. That's important if you're 9 months pregnant, because they did not have trains, planes, or automobiles to get anywhere. She was either on foot or on a donkey. Either way, for all of the ladies that have been pregnant at 9 months, you probably would not have appreciated walking 80 miles. But that's what they did. This is what I want you to hear this morning out of the story you already know. And the thing I want you to hear is that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. They were taking a census. Why? Because they wanted to make sure they were taxing everybody. That's why they take a census. They don't want anybody slipping through the cracks. It wasn't like America where we did it every 10 years. It was random, and it was at the decree of the Caesar to set a time for the census. I want you to think about God and His plan for your life. And I want you to think that a lot of the time it feels like whatever it is God's called us to do and to be is impossible. And it feels impossible because, figuratively speaking, you live 80 miles away from the place that you should be. God picked a peasant named Mary to have the baby. He did not pick some important person with influence. He came to a Jewish peasant girl and said, "You're the one. I'm going to do a miracle for you that is unique and never happened before, never going to happen again. The virgin will give birth." But in order for the Messiah to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament, specifically Micah 5, the baby has to be born in Bethlehem. Notice that God did not pick a girl that was already in Bethlehem. He picked a girl that was engaged to a guy in Nazareth, 80 miles away. And so in order to get Mary to Nazareth, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, He causes the Caesar of the world, the known world, to declare a census to be taken in her 9th month of pregnancy. Why is that important? God shapes the events of planet Earth to accomplish His purposes. Even the events of the rulers of the world who think that they're simply raising taxes, God used to fulfill prophecy to do what He said that He would do. This should be somewhat exciting, because God had a peasant girl that needed to have a baby 80 miles away. When He picked Mary, He already knew that Mary didn't live very close to Bethlehem. And He, according to Proverbs chapter 21, it says that the heart of the king is like a stream of water in the hand of God, and He turns it wherever He will. God turned the heart of Caesar to declare a census and have Joseph pick up and go to the city of David, Bethlehem, so that Jesus could be born where Micah chapter 5, multiple hundreds of years prior, said that the Savior would be born. The reason this is good news at Christmas is it does not matter what God calls you to do And it may seem impossible. It may seem unlikely. It may seem too far away. None of that matters at all. God can cause presidents or kings or chancellors or prime ministers or anybody else to do whatever needs done to get peasant girls where they belong. It is incredible that the Caesar calls a census to get a peasant girl. The reason Luke is telling us this is he wants you to know. He's the doctor. He's meticulous. He wants us to know the surrounding circumstances. But I think it is also in here to encourage us, to tell us that the most important birth in human history was 80 miles away from where it was supposed to happen. But God made that happen too. That doesn't necessarily mean that the journey of your life is perfectly comfortable, because I imagine walking or riding on a donkey for 80 miles at 9 months pregnant was at least moderately uncomfortable. It doesn't make a lot of sense either, because I probably would have said, honey, why don't you stay home? They didn't. That's not the way that it worked. God will get you where you need to be, even if he has to pass legislation to do it. And the legislation doesn't have to make sense either. The moral of the story is that God gets his people where they're supposed to be, even when it looks totally unlikely. There's something else that's unlikely. I promise this is quick. God did not announce the story of the birth of the Savior of the world to anybody important. He announced it to shepherds in the field. Now, I hear all the Christmas carols in my head about shepherds and all that. But think about it. He picks a peasant girl that's 80 miles away, and then he announces it to shepherds. They were blue-collar working folk. What in the world is God doing? I want you to see, and I want you to picture what the shepherds saw. It's nighttime. It's probably cold. And one angel in verse 10 shows up to them and he says, don't be afraid. I'm bringing great news of great joy for all the people. He tells this to shepherds, that the message of the great news of great joy is going to go to the whole world. It's not going to be limited to Israel. It's going out to every tribe and tongue and nation. It's going out to everybody, and he tells this to shepherds. I personally would have at least picked somebody in Jewish royalty to do this. I'm not God. He picks shepherds. Because God is not really worried about your qualifications. All of you are unqualified and unfit to serve the king. He has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. That is what the message of the great joy is that he's not waiting on you to be good enough. And if you're thinking that way about how God could possibly use a wretch like you, well, good grief, look at the wretches in Scripture that he uses. He is not waiting on you to be perfect. Legalism demands some sort of perfection that you can never get to. And so legalism paralyzes people from acting on behalf of the King of Kings because you don't feel like you're good enough. I remember going out to go witnessing once with a group from church, and there was a guy who said he was going to stay and pray because his life wasn't good enough to go witnessing. And I just thought maybe he was trying to be spiritual. No. He had a false image in his head that he couldn't share Christ unless things were perfect in his life. If that's the case, ain't nobody sharing Jesus with anybody. Because you're not perfect. These shepherds tell me that God, in his own purpose, uses whoever he wants to use. Peasant girls and shepherds are the recipients of the message of the declared arrival of the King of Kings. The cool part here for me is verse 13. There's one angel, so I can picture this one angel talking to the shepherds. So picture their reaction. I can see this like in a movie trailer. Picture the reaction that there's one angel talking to them, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? God put on display to them one of the neatest things that ever happened. One angel telling them, the Savior is to be born in Bethlehem. You'll find him. This will be how you know what I'm saying is true. You'll find him in a manger. Think of how crazy that sounds. And then all of a sudden, out pops a multitude of the heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest. I doubt they forgot it. My simple Christmas message is this. It does not matter what you in your heart feel that the Lord is calling you to do. It does not matter where you are, and it doesn't matter what's going on. God will get you there. Simply trust Him. The Bible is filled, and Christmas has got the greatest of these stories. Peasant girls, shepherds, the King of the universe is born. He'll cause mountains to move on your behalf. Walk with Him and trust Him. That's the only way to see God work. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Look at Mary, who pondered the promises of God in her heart. Look at the shepherds who immediately went and started telling and praising God and what they had heard. God does not need important people. He just needs people who say, okay, I will go. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. I said it would be short and sweet. That's my version of short and sweet. So, the way we are going to end our service today, and it is way short and sweet, so Merry Christmas. The way that we are going to end our service today is Chris is going to lead us in a song. I want to have everybody stand up, if you would. Chris is mashing two songs together. There's one thing I want us to do as a church family, and some of you don't know this, but before we sing, and Chris, you can start playing if you'd like. Daniel Dye passed away this week. He was here last Sunday. He sat right back there with Earl and Owen, like he always did. He was very young. He was the first official church member of Celebration Church. So I've known him for a long time. If you know Dan Dye at all, I was really happy that the last sermon he heard was about dragons. And Jesus being the destroyer of the works of the devil. The family has asked that we not have a memorial. They've asked that, and that also is very much in line with Dan Dye and who he is and was. His character was just to be quiet and in the background. I spoke to his mother, though, and one thing she did ask, she said, please have your church family pray for us. And so That's what we're going to do now. He will be missed greatly. You know, he took up the offering last week, and that was, he had been a church usher since I knew him even as a kid. He was an usher at the church that I came from in Belpre, Ohio. So, I don't know. It was just neat that he was here Sunday and helped us with that. And he's met the King of Kings face to face. We celebrate, we genuinely celebrate the birth of Christ so that we may meet him face to face. And then from the moment we're born until we die, we don't know when that day is, but that day's coming for all of us. Living for him with all of our heart is what we should be about. Don't be intimidated. You may live 80 miles away in your heart and in your mind from where you're supposed to be. Would you just change that thinking and say, wait a second. God caused Caesar Augustus to call a census to get Mary where she should be. God will even use politicians. Let's pray for Dan Dye, his family. And then Chris is going to lead us in the song, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Lord, you sent Israel into battle, declaring, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." It's a weird thing to mix goodness and mercy with battle. Lord, we are down here fighting, and we thank you that your goodness and mercy lead us in every battle we fight. We thank you, Lord, the victory is already won in Christ. You have made an open show of the enemy. Lord, we lift up Daniel Dye's family. We lift up Margie and his father. We lift up all the cousins and all the people that are grieving over the loss of their son, especially at Christmas. God, we pray that you would wrap them in your arms of peace, that they would be overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the hope that carried Dan Dye into your arms, Lord, I pray that they would rest knowing you've got him. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And we worship you today. Lord, you are holy beyond reckoning. And I pray, God, as we sing and dismiss as a church, that your holiness would settle in our hearts, and that we would live in awe of you. God, crush our doubts and our cynicisms, our skepticism, our disenfranchisement, our callousness, our indifference. God, squash it. Lord, replace it with holy awe at who you are. I pray for this in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season. God, I pray that our hearts would be overflowing with joy with our families as we honor you this week. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your goodness to us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tell somebody Merry Christmas as you are officially dismissed. God bless you, everyone.